listening to The Brian Callen Show, rated the number one podcast of all time.
Of all time. Make sure you're ready, because this is the podcast where you are guaranteed to learn virtually everything. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Brian Callen Show, and I'm with Jay Larson, who is considered by many to be one of the top 100,000 comics in the country.
I've dipped, huh?
I'd say you are. I mean, Chris D'Elia was talking about how funny you were. And I would say, I mean, I've said this to other comics. I've only had really good comics on the podcast just by accident. But what you do is, there are very few people that do what you do. I mean, very few. I'm gonna say there are maybe 100 people in the country that can do, who are as funny as you. I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, it sounds good
to me.
You're
in top 100 in the world. I'm going to give you that.
Oh,
maybe
Jesus
50.
Jesus Christ, I don't even know.
What do you think, honestly, in your heart?
I don't care.
I know. It's a dumb thing to think about. I don't even know what being funnier means, but you're original. Like, you do that weird
I just try to, yeah.
Shit.
I just try to,
that's
though.
That's funny as hell. You I have mean, a special.
Yeah, well, 2011.
Yeah, on Comedy Central?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one Chris D'Elia was talking about.
Yeah.
They came and sat down. We were about to record the 10-minute podcast, and he's like, dude, you got to, Jay Larson is, you got to see this shit. And he was freaking out.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
And I was like, I wrote that stuff for him.
Yeah, and people like,
I did in a way, because just by my presence.
By you being alive, everyone's kind of taking a little bit from what
I'm
you're
your
doing.
Biggest influence.
Oh, hands down. It's you, then Cosby.
Yeah.
Then Seinfeld. You know
oh,
what
by
I mean?
The way, America, if you like to laugh, I'm going to be in Utah at Wise Guys. November 29th and 30th.
Which
no,
club?
28th and 28th, 29th. Whatever, the Friday after Thanksgiving and then that Saturday, whatever that is. That's a good time to do stand-up. I'm sure people are going to come out in droves. You better come out. I'm a scream.
I liked it out there.
Did you go out there?
Yeah.
Did Wise Guys?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was fantastic. I went to the library during the day and wrote. They got a cool library in town.
My parents live a half hour away, man.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No, you staying with them?
Yeah.
Oof.
They got a hell of a house.
I bet they do.
I come from money, bro.
Do you?
Oh, I'm rich as shit.
See, I'm poor, man. We grew up poor.
Poor pauper. I don't like having paupers. Honestly, it's gross to me to have paupers on my podcast.
I think I'm more relatable than you. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I think you live in this glass house. Mm. You know what I mean?
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
But I have an edge to me. I'm edgy.
No, but it's a forced edge. It's a fake edge. It comes from like nothing, really. Like, where's your edge come from?
Just from like,
what are you fighting for?
Just getting down and dirty. Like, I rock hard. You know, I'm like, let's do it. And then my friend's like, what? Whatever, Brian. I'm like, come on. And I get in my car. I'm like, well, I'm gonna drive.
And you're like, literally, just like grocery shopping. And like, why is he so pumped up?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Let's eat more meat. You know, that stuff.
You don't have a chip on your shoulder?
No,
I
don't
do.
Think so.
I always will.
Well, I think it's important. Comics, a lot of comics do.
Always.
What's your chip? Where does it come from?
From my dad leaving.
Oh, your dad left.
Yeah. That'll always be my chip. It'll
You'll
always
never
be,
lose that.
No way. That's the best. It's like you're always proving something.
How?
Always.
We're all so fucked up.
Yeah, I know.
We are all fucked up. Wait, so your dad, that's really funny. It's not funny that your dad left. How old were you?
Two.
Yeah, and it still gets to you.
Oh, it's,
at two, you're like, fuck this, right?
Oh, no, I mean, it doesn't get to me. Now I'm kind of like at, but I'm always going to have something to prove just to the world, you know what I mean? Just to prove my worth, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and that's, I always want that. I think everyone, I say this all the time, everyone should find one thing that they should keep in the back of their head that they're going to fight for if you want something big in life. You know what I mean?
I asked. I interviewed Dana White the other day in Vegas, and I said, "What drives you?" And he said, "I want the UFC. I want MMA to be the biggest sport in the world." What I didn't ask him as a follow up, which pisses me off, I don't know why I didn't. I was brain dead. Was what about you and your childhood drives you the way it? This guy's.
I would love to know that.
He's got such an edge.
Mm-hmm.
Boxes, works out, and answers tweets and gets in fights with people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "What?" I go, "Why do you do that?" You know, and he's like, "Because it's fucking fun."
I mean, what do you think he sleeps like 4 hours a night?
I don't know, man. He's amazing.
What are you logging a night?
I got to get my 7.5. I just had a sleep expert from Oxford University, a groundbreaking scientist in sleep on my podcast, and since I listen to that, I'm obsessed with getting my 8 hours or 7.5.
Eight, that's what you need?
In a dark room.
Yeah, huh.
I believe in it.
I want to check in. I think six is my, like, my steady zone.
If I work out, if I'm not working out like a maniac,
yeah,
I can no, six is no problem. If I'm working out the way I do, I gotta sleep.
Yeah, and you work out, you're intense about it.
I'm like a greyhound, bro.
Yeah, you see me.
I'll let you take my body in with your hands a little bit later in a straight way, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I'd love to feel those abs. Just see what's going on.
As long as there's no eye contact, I'll get lost in those fucking sea blue eyes.
Yeah,
of
these are nice, huh?
Yeah,
you're jealous of it. That's good. I get it.
So wait, let's go back to your chip. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So your father leaves at 2. Mm-hmm. Did your mom remarry?
Never. Never. There was never another dude ever in her life. Yeah.
Never.
She had 4 kids.
Dude.
Her whole deal was like, these are my kids. I'm raising them. That was her deal.
Wow.
And she was involved in tons of things. My mother was involved in like tons of arts, music, all that kind of stuff. So she had
in
like
Boston.
Her own hobbies. Yeah, just outside Stoneham. Spot
Did
and
you
pride,
go to
bro.
College?
Yeah.
Where?
New Hampshire, St. Anselm.
I know St. Anselm.
5 years. What?
Yeah. What'd you study?
English. Well, I started out in business and then marketing and then sociology and then English.
I started out in econ and then I was a history teacher. What a joke. But what are you a reader?
I go through phases, you know. If I'm not reading, I'm writing.
Favorite book?
I really like The Invisible Man.
Never read it.
Ralph Ellison.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book.
Yeah.
But if I
read The Invisible Man. What am I thinking?
Yeah, see, I know you did.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, man.
Yeah.
That's a great book. I forgot about that book.
Yeah, it was a great book, man. Great book.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
This
I don't
is when I did
any of it.
When I moved here, I lived in Hollywood for 6 months, then moved to Venice for 4 months, and then we got booted and I had nowhere to go, and I moved into like my friend was an architect and he bought this house on Indiana over in Dogwood. Mm-hmm. He was going to rip down cuz it was like unlivable.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You can live here if you want." And I lived there for 14 months. And I just started reading, bro. I was reading, writing.
Yeah.
No shower. I had no heat.
Why do you think reading is important? I know so many people that don't read. Like Chris D'Elia.
D'Elia's not reading.
He's like, "I know, dude. It's just so hard. Come on, D'Elia."
Not only this, I was just talking about this last night on stage. I like reading books. I don't want to read from a Kindle. I get it. It's like, you know, but
yeah.
Books, we're going to lose books at some point. You know, they're going to be gone.
Already are.
But the best thing about a book, like an old book, is
feel it.
The other people that read it, where it went, where they were when they were reading it, it's taking in, you know? It's like got character. It's got a life of its own.
Yeah.
I love that.
I've always had this nostalgia for being, I want to live in the Northeast. I have this image of me in a log cabin or just an old wood house in Vermont, New Hampshire, or Mass. I'm wearing a tweed jacket. I'm smoking a pipe. I have some kind of hunting dog, but probably with my druthers, I want a German Shepherd, a German Lines. I want a working dog, not some fucking AKC bullshit. And I want to be reading. I want to have a library of leather-bound first edition books. And I'm going to revisit the classics. Moby Dick.
You know what?
Billy Budd. Just find all the great authors.
Billy
Budd
the Shriver.
Conrad.
Come on, dude. Stay on the bottom floor. Let me tell you this right now. What do you want to go all day with this? I would say if there's one book that I think every single person in the world should read, it's, what is it? Old Man the Sea. Especially
course.
As actors, anyone struggling or trying to do something, Old Man the Sea, bro. And I'm not a huge Hemingway fan.
It's a great metaphor.
Yeah,
it's a great metaphor.
Amazing.
I've read everything by Hemingway.
Did you read Green Hills of Africa?
Yes, I did.
It was the cockiest, most
the one thing I remember from Green Hills of Africa that kind of it's funny you mentioned that book. The one thing I remember so vividly about that is when he talks about shooting the rhinoceros, he says, and it hit with a comedic, the bullet hit with a comedic thump.
Mm-hmm.
A comedic thump as the great beast fell or something like that. And I went, that's a weird thing to say. When you kill an animal that sort of interesting and prehistoric or whatever it looks like, you know, and then you call it a comedic thumb. I would never want to kill a rhinoceros. I'm not eating it. So
I feel like the way he wrote that book is your stage persona.
Mm, that's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Well, Hemingway was obsessed with masculinity, as am I. I mean, he was obsessed with it. But he at least went and did things like fought bulls and boxed and drove an ambulance in the Spanish Civil War, I believe. So he kind of would go and investigate and then write.
Yeah.
No, but he was a terrible person.
Yeah, I've not. Yeah.
I mean, he was an awful guy. He was just a very, 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 arrogant guy, one of those egomaniacs who left a wake of, you know, sorrow, I think, in some ways. I mean, look, he was a great writer, and he, I guess he was revolutionary in his rudimentary prose.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you, do you think an artist needs to go experience to then do what they do? Because, I mean, he did that. That's like what Kerouac and the Beats were doing. That's what
I
a
actually
lot of people...
think. I actually would have told you yes a long time ago, and now I think you can learn everything through one thing. So if you're really good at one thing, if you really apply yourself at one thing, I think that's the way to go. I think that you can learn the mysteries and secrets of the universe by applying yourself completely to one thing. If you're a great tennis player, what it takes to get great is the same thing it takes to get great at the cello, at the drums.
But you're not learning those things.
Well, see, the learning those things is less relevant in some ways than the art of learning. There is an art to learning that we don't teach. And so a great baseball player can hit a ball because they can chunk information faster than you can. They can watch that pitcher wind up, and as he throws, they can see the seams of the ball all in a split second. And they can predict where that ball is going to go better than most people. If you're really good, you can do it, you know, a third of the time, and you connect with that ball. That becomes sort of the way they hit balls and stuff. That's less interesting to me. That would be experience and perfect practice. I'm talking about what you get out of getting to that point.
Oh, okay. I think there's three types of people. I think there's people that are gifted. I think there are people that work hard. And then I think there are people that are gifted and work hard. Me being the last.
Gifted and work
hard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always say, when people go, do you know Jay Larson? I go, do you mean the guy who's gifted and who works his ass off?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Gifted, though, is tricky because... it depends on what you're talking. Some people have a natural and physical proclivity for something, right? But as far as like being talent is a weird thing. Talent probably starts with a deep interest in something, an inherent interest in something. You know?
Oh, really? You're gonna go chicken the egg here? You don't think that just is naturally?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
People?
I know they've done a lot of work on this recently, and there are a number of books that have been written on this. Dan Coyle, who I had in my podcast, wrote a book called The Talent Code, where he went and studied all the schools that put out world champions, the best in the world. They're typically the same person. He met the same person over and over, the same coach over and over. It's a guy who's not, doesn't give inspirational speeches. He's just a guy who's broken down, like he knows how to disseminate information and connect.
Yeah.
And has an unorthodox way of approaching whatever sport it is, right, or whatever instrument you're playing. So, but I do think that you need. You're not sprinting. You're not going to win the Olympics unless you're from the Biafra coast of West Africa.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it if you're from Kenya. You might run farther, but you're not going to be run.
Goddamn
fast.
Right.
So it all depends on your genetic makeup and that has, you're not going to play in the major leagues unless you have incredible eyesight. But I'm saying that after that, their software plays a large factor, the kind of technique that you apply. I really do think like stand up. I was talking about this the other day. I had a set, and I know you've been here, so I'll just say it. Like I had a set in Sacramento that was so, felt so good. Like the audience was so, they were laughing so hard that I swear to God, minute 20, I went, I'm not going to start tagging these jokes because I don't want them to wear themselves out.
Shut up.
Very arrogant. I don't mean it that way. What I mean is that I've been writing so much and doing so much stand-up that I got to a point where I really felt like I was letting the air in and out of a balloon. I know that sounds, I don't mean it to sound that way. I'm just saying that when you've been doing something that long, you develop another level of control over it. Is what it felt like, and it was nice to feel that.
That's amazing.
And that had nothing to do with being talented. It had to do with being doing it so much. I'm doing it like 10 hours a weekend.
Yeah.
And when you do that for a year straight, you're going to get pretty good at something.
Yeah.
So
I would agree, but I think at the same time, you still have to come to correct. You have to bring all that energy, and you have to go with it. But you kill, dude.
Well, you know, I love doing it.
BC loves to kill.
I started doing, I started doing stand-up in my, I think I became a comic as I look back on it because I was moved every fucking year and a half, 2 years, to a whole different country with a whole group of new people.
Yeah.
And I had to make friends quickly. Yeah, how do you make friends with guys? Make them laugh and be okay at sports.
Yeah, of course. I never had to deal with that. Mine was always trying to make my mother happy. That was my whole thing.
But how'd you get so fucking funny? And
because of that.
Making your mom laugh?
There was four of us. I'm the youngest of four, and everyone kind of had their own thing. And then we'd like be on vacation. I remember like my brother and my sister, they were the middle, so they'd pair up. And they'd go to like play arcades, and then I'd want to run along. And I'd look back, and I'd see my mom. I'm like, God damn it. And so it was like always like, I say this to my wife all the time. Like every day I wake up, I'm in a good mood. No question.
Really?
I'm never not in a good mood. Every time.
Why?
You can... Because why not? There's nothing that... I don't have a reason to be grouchy.
That's great.
I'm... Put it this way. If I don't like to come up with excuses. I just assume things are the way they are, and that's why something is the way it is. You know what I mean? So I don't find an excuse. So if I wake up, I'm never grouchy. I'm like, why would I need to be grouchy? Because I'm up?
Do you stress?
I stress sometimes, but it's usually internal.
About what?
Money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's probably the big... We always grew up without money. So I knew how much my money... Excuse me. My mother made when I was 10. I remember asking her, how much money you make? Like, because I was just fascinated. Like, how much money does it take to keep this all going? And so my whole life, we had jobs from day one. So I was always, like, keeping track of, like, how much money needed to go where. But I don't know what we just said. I like getting up in a good mood. I like it. I love that, having that positive outlook. Oh, so it was, yeah. And, like, that was my way with my mom. It was always, like, make everyone happy around. I wanted everyone to like me because I didn't have that. I didn't have any attention. No dad, and then my mom had four kids to worry about. I don't think there was any attention coming in. So I'm like, I need to get every single person to like me. So I was just funny.
That's interesting.
I've been crushing since second grade, bro.
Damn, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. You're talking about a guy with 35 years of experience. My voice just got real weird, huh?
It's nice. I like that.
Look at my pit bull with no ear.
Yeah, that ear is scary, man.
Well, she had cancer in her ear. They had to take it out, and I think she's doing pretty well. She looks muscular as shit. The doctor's like, well, it probably spread to her liver. No, it didn't.
Is she a rescue?
Yeah.
She looks it. That's what that ear looks like. It looks like she got that on the street, man.
She's a badass. Look at her. She's a fighter. Those dogs are built for war, man. Built for war. There was this pit bull, famous fighting dog, and a guy wrote a poem, and the poem was called, "This is a Chiseled Song of War."
Jesus.
Yeah. A chiseled... I've always wanted to be referred to as a chiseled song of war, but I'm not.
I'm surprised it's not framed on the wall somewhere around here.
It should be.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
My buddy Brendan Schaub, who fights in the UFC, won his last fight, and there are two photos of him, and I'm going to frame them and put them in my boy's room. So
yeah.
He sees what time it is.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. You watch sports?
Yeah, man.
What's your team? Boston, right?
Boston across the board.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Congratulations on your socks.
Thanks, man.
Kind of exciting, right?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. We've been kind of spoiled.
How are the Pats
2001.
Doing?
Pats 7-2.
I'm kidding. I know. Your boy Brady has had a run, huh?
Dude, he's kind of in your neck of the woods, you know. He's not far from here.
Really?
Yeah, Brentwood.
Really?
I don't want to give your address out, but it's 2-2.
Man.
He's had a crazy run, dude. That's another dude. You think that guy would be where he was if he didn't have a chip on his shoulder?
Well, that's right.
That's his whole thing.
He still works with a throwing coach.
Yeah. All the time. But that's the thing. Same with Brad Pitt. That guy's still going to acting class. It's not like he's just...
Is he?
Yeah. It's not like he's just like, I'm the best at
it. I've always liked that about Brad Pitt. He never rests on his laurels.
No.
He's always working.
Guy's a stud.
That makes the big difference, man.
Yeah. Well,
work with a coach. It hasn't helped me lately. I haven't worked in a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think that is? You look
sometimes
afraid.
Your talent gets so fucking like overwhelming.
Yeah.
I think you walk into a room and they don't see you. They see your aura.
Yeah, man. I gave up on
you'd
acting.
Like to play, what is it in any movie?
I gave up on acting. I don't care.
You got a favorite movie?
I got like, can you really pick out every favorite movie?
Give me
a... I'll lump in. I'll say The Natural.
Oh, great movie.
Anything Robert Redford or
the
Paul
Natural's
Newman.
A great movie.
I'm on board. I mean, I don't know. We can just... Big Lebowski is my favorite comedy, hands down. I can give you any line from that movie.
Coen Brothers.
Where do you go for? You like Braveheart's a big one for you?
Oh, well, you know, it's a great movie, but no. Raging Bull.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say Deer Hunter. I don't like it. It's too long, and I watched it again. There's one good scene. Everything else can go.
What scene?
Itself.
The scene where he's hunting?
Russian roulette scene.
You don't like the scene when he's out there just one-on-one going that deer, you know, he's got one bullet and he's got different angles?
That movie is one of the reasons I became an actor.
When he wouldn't give him the shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great scene.
Of course. But Michael Cimino's a fucking egomaniac. Hey, thanks for that long wedding scene. It's a real wedding scene. Would you relax? He'd never get away with that and shouldn't today. That movie would be an hour shorter than it is and should be.
It's literally three movies.
Yeah, it's kind of like Eugene O'Neill, Long Day's Journey into Night. That play, he won a Nobel Prize for Literature. That play needed an editor, okay? Nobody would ever tell a Nobel Prize winning playwright or Eugene O'Neill that he needs to edit his play. That was the problem.
Yeah.
So now when you go to the play, it's 3.5 hours long, whatever it is. No, doesn't need to be that long. And it was produced posthumously. I like using that word. The whole point of that story was to say that. Hey, I'm sure my audience, a lot of young people, really know Eugene O'Neill isn't care.
And what posthumously.
Posthumously.
That's a word.
Yeah.
I used matriculate wrong, and my wife got on me about it.
Matriculate?
Yeah.
How did you use it?
I basically said, I'm like, listen, I took a couple meetings with the guy, didn't matriculate anything. And she's like, you know that's not what that word means. And I go, do you know what I'm trying to...
It didn't matriculate into anything, which would actually mean it didn't trickle down into
see?
Something like, you know, into substance.
You get what I'm saying here.
Didn't matriculate. I guess that is... I think that is an accurate way
Thank
of saying
you.
It. Because actually in Hollywood, nothing happens quickly. It all does kind of dribble into some form of something that you that has nothing to do with what you were going for, but you'll settle for it anyway.
Well, I just don't. What's the big deal? Why do we get so hung up on words anyway? If you understand, that's what makes you artistic. You know,
where's your phone? Let's look up matriculate.
I got it right here. I think it's, you know what it means. I'm pretty sure
to matriculate is.
I think
to,
it means to go through the school system. It's specifically.
I thought matriculate meant to trickle. Which was because it's got trick in it.
You are such.
Matriculate.
No.
It matriculated down to.
Be enrolled at a college or university is what it means. Record in an official register. Herald E. Scottish. He matriculated at the University of Vermont. There
I
you
didn't
go.
Know that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, well, forget that. Obviously, I'm so wrong. Are you kidding me?
No.
That's what matriculate
That's what
means?
I'm, this is my whole point.
Matriculate means to be in enrolled in a college?
Yeah, it's like to. To matriculate through the school system or whatever it means. I don't know. I don't really care.
Well, I guess, but I wonder what the root is, because to matriculate means to go from class to class, to go from thing to thing, right? To matriculate?
I don't know. No, it just, it means to enroll.
What app is that, dude? I don't know if that's the right.
I just went Google search,
bro. It might not
bro.
Be the right dictionary app.
I want to matriculate into that world you were talking about living in. You don't really want to move back east. Are you going to move back east?
Well, no. I have a fantasy of it. It's hard to argue with California, bro.
It sure is.
Come on, man.
But you don't miss seasons ever?
Very much. I very much miss the fall. That crisp, cold air and the leaves changing and how what it sparks inside of you creatively. It's a death and a rebirth. Innovation is death and rebirth. What people don't understand about innovation is it's a form of destruction. You must destroy what was and give birth to the new. God damn it, I'm smart as shit. And fall is a harbinger of said destruction and rebirth. Wow.
I mean, it's
always be changing, guys. Always be changing. Always be
always.
Growing. Always be connecting. Always be contributing.
Do you have those like over your bed?
No, but it just, you know, I'm getting older and now I feel like I have to give people advice.
Those are great things to live by.
The problem is that you can. The problem with feel good speech and feel good sayings is that they're at the end of the day horseshit. What matters is information, technique, and correct instruction. Oh, and practice under guided and expert tutelage. Expert. It's French for expert.
So do you think everything has to come through from a coaching? Have you had coach? You ever had to take stand-up coaching?
No.
All right.
But, you know, your maybe audience, you your audience, you know, is maybe your, you hey, man.
God damn, it just got real.
But your audience is your coach. I mean, you know, I mean, in a way, what happened to me stand-up wise was that this next hour I'm working on, I'm trying to be really thematic.
Is it a full hour? Wasn't your Showtime hour like an hour 26 way or something
too long.
Like that?
It was way too long. Speaking of somebody who needed an editor, me, and I got lazy.
I heard that was Gene O'Neill's one
It
criticism.
Was, and it's why I can't watch it, and it's why I'm not proud of it, and it's why I don't like it.
Come on.
Nope. I couldn't watch it. I thought it was terrible.
My boy watched it. My buddy hit me up. I have one buddy from growing up. Yeah. I mean, do you have a lot of friends from growing up because you were all over the place?
Not enough.
So I have like one, two, like seven close buddies from growing up, but four that I talked to on the three that I talked to on the reg, and one is like a comedy fan. None of the other ones are really comedy fans.
Yeah.
And he just hit me up one day, texted like, dude, it just said, dude, Brian Callen special, cried the whole time, like something like
that's
that.
That's great. I do all get really it, great feedback from guys.
You could do 3 hours straight because you just go off in a fantasy land and you just keep creating stuff. You just like look out and you just keep seeing things over
and
over.
I did an hour
over.
And 55 minutes in Toronto without even realizing it. And I got off stage. And I go, was I on there? How much longer was I on there? About an hour? And they go, dude, you it's a minute. It's an hour 55. Didn't even realize it.
Dude.
I don't do that anymore. I try to keep it to, you know.
Well, I mean, it's amazing
minutes.
How much someone that's that self-centered can just, you know what I mean? Can just keep. You know,
not, keep doing it.
Have no concern for other people's time.
That's
or,
exactly
yeah.
right. That's exactly
the lack
right.
of awareness. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, my least favorite trait in a person is self-centeredness, which I have some of. And one of the things that children do
mm-hmm.
is it hopefully takes you out of yourself a little bit.
I would hope
very
so.
Very refreshing, much needed on my part. I felt myself getting very particular. In a bad way before I had children. I didn't want to be that guy.
This is something I want to talk to you for a while. Let me ask you this. Do you remember that storytelling show I used to do?
Yes.
I think your fans are going to love this. So I started this storytelling show, and the first one I had, I'm like, I had Steve Byrne, Brian Callen, Morgan Murphy, Brody Stevens. Right. I'm like, I want storytellers. And it was going to be all, it's kind of like what my podcast, The Crab Feast, is now, natural storytelling.
I remember. I remember you were pissed.
I was pissed at one person, me. Brian Callen.
But I didn't know what the format was. Bob.
Yeah, I kept, I'm not mad at you.
No,
I think it's
I
hilarious
didn't listen,
when
though.
I think back. I know, and I remember there was
I felt
so
bad about it.
Guys, it was storytelling. We were all telling real stories, and every time I got to Callen, he'd be like, "What about me and Steve? Just if we're cops and we're on the street and we got to," and I'm like, "I ride a horse," and Steve, everyone's. Brian is killing.
Yeah.
And I'm like boiling up inside. I'm like, we're doing real stories, bro. We're doing real.
And I didn't listen to you. I didn't know that.
It was
and,
so
and,
funny.
And I remember going, oh, when you said to me afterwards, you were like, because I know you like me and you didn't want to be mean, but you were like, dude, but we were supposed to tell real stories. And immediately I went, oh, I fucked up.
Well,
I fucked up.
That's the thing, and you were crushing every time that you got to you.
Yeah, but that's the but again,
of course.
That ruins the format.
Of
that I felt bad about and thought about many times because I knew that was your thing, and I had misinterpreted it.
I love you know what me and Sickler laugh about all the time because like anytime he's like
he's a good guy.
Oh yeah, he goes like one night I talked to him like how was I forget where it was. It was pretty recent. He goes, Callen was there. I go, how did Callen do? He goes, dude, that guy. He just starts. You know, talking about what you're talking about. I'm like, fucking Callen. Like, it's an ongoing joke between me and him about that night because he was there that night.
This is how I open my stand-up now. I go like this. I go, anyway, I haven't really reached my goal. I mean, I've reached my goals comedically, obviously. I just, so weird. They give you these awards. I just was rated the number one comic of, I don't know, some bullshit where, you know, they did an 8-year study with all these experts and I came up on top. I don't know. I'm the greatest comic apparently. I fucking read. And that's how I started. So obnoxious.
I love that you do that though, because then the expectations for you to be cocky the whole time is so high.
I know. It's so ridiculous. I like that kind of humor where you're just like, I like going up there like, this is cashmere. Not that I even notice. I don't do my own shopping.
You know what I was doing? Tom Segura and I, we just did a gig
I
together.
I fucking love that guy.
Oh, Segura's the best.
That guy is a great guy.
Yeah, he's
and
awesome.
And he's funny as shit.
So funny.
He's another one like you that more people need to know about.
Yeah. I mean, they will. I mean, he's got stuff going. I mean, he's funny. He keeps
amazing.
Doing his thing.
Segura's amazing.
We kept doing... We did a casino together. So we flew together, drove together there, and drove back, flew back. And so the whole time, we just kept playing the same beat where it'd be like... I can't remember what we were getting paid, but we just kept giving a higher number to him of like what I was getting. I'm like, dude, I mean, whatever, man. You're going to do this gig, 18 grand, you know what I mean? Whatever, you know? And he'd be like, so then every time, anything. And then we were just in Minneapolis together, and he had done Minneapolis like a little while ago. I was there last week doing Acme, and he's recording a special. So I went over to see the set and see him and stuff. And then he goes, how's Acme, man? I go, dude, it's fine. I mean, dude, you're going to go out there for, what, 12 grand you do a week? You know what I mean? Knowing that it's way more than what we're talking about. And he just started dying laughing. I love that. I mean, it's not
the
same.
I love that shit. I love that shit. I love it. He's got a great capacity for play. He loves to be a silly goose.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. He's a guy who can stand in one place and crush a room.
I was going to say, you know what he's got opposite
from
you?
I'm pulling bunnies out of hats, kicking my leg up, sweating yeah, through two shirts. Dude. I got to do all kinds of shit to get people. You know, it's literally like I'm working overtime. I got to be in shape.
Yeah. Oh, you have to.
Because I'm afraid to just stand and really, you know, tell jokes. I can't do it.
He also uses a minimal amount of words. I'm always impressed by people that don't need a lot of words to get a point across or make something make
well,
sense.
Well, that, like a song, is what you're doing. That's why you constantly rework your set, right? I mean, you're trying to find the perfect rhythm, the perfect number of words, the perfect harmony. Where are you going to stress that word?
Yeah.
It becomes just like a song. I've had a couple very good musicians tell me that's exactly what it's like. They go, you do what I do. What do you mean? You know, they go, well, writing jokes looks very much like writing a song because there's a rhythm to it.
Yeah.
You know, you go up on that word, you go down on this word, you know, whether you know it or not, that's what you're doing. I was like, yeah, I do know I'm doing that because I'm a musician.
Yeah.
Because I'm a beautiful, beautiful drummer. And I don't use the word beautiful twice, but I just did.
You did it.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You did it.
Yeah.
That means it's not even a real kit, but what, you know what I mean? Whatever.
It's, well, I don't appreciate you telling the people that.
I mean, does anyone know?
Well, it's not a kit. It's I guess it's an electronic drum set. Is that what they would call it?
Yeah, but I get the deal. You don't want to wake up the neighbors and stuff.
You have a condescending attitude toward my drums, bro.
Well, I wouldn't call them drums. Okay. You know what I mean? Again, I was a drummer. I was a percussionist. You know what I mean?
I did not know that,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, come on.
You were a percussionist.
What am I playing the tri-toms? Yeah, I did.
Jesus, you're dropping, God.
Tri-toms. You ever play tri-toms?
I mean, we're minute 32 in this podcast, and I just found something new about it.
I was horrible. I hated it. Everyone in my house growing up had to be in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. You had to play a sport, and you had to play an instrument.
I was a fucking weeblo.
That's as far as you got?
Yeah, I couldn't do the Boy Scouts thing.
Oh, I got all the way to star. I wanted Eagle, man. If I meet a guy that's Eagle Scout, it's like one of the things I'm most jealous about.
I ended up in Special Forces at a very young age, and I
Here we go.
I can't talk about it, but you wake up free every morning? Do you? I'm just curious. Do you wake up free every morning?
Oh, you know I live in a pretty shady neighborhood, so not really.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
But you can speak your mind, right? You can do.
Oh, yeah, I can pretty much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I've been to Iraq. You been to Iraq?
I've been to Afghanistan. I did a USO tour.
Yeah, I did Iraq during the war. I was in the war.
I was actually too. So
yeah, but I flew over Baghdad.
Afghanistan, I would argue, is just as dangerous. So
I've also been to Kuwait. And
okay, I'm not competing with you.
No, I don't want to get in. No, I don't want to get in a thing.
But you're kind of like you're looking down. You're sniffing the air a little bit. Like you've got a
no.
You're condescending. One eye is smaller than the other right now, and you're looking at me.
Yeah. I performed in South Korea recently. You done that?
I didn't do that either. Okay. So obviously you like the troops more than I do. I guess you're a bigger patriot. I don't know what you're getting at.
Just saying.
But you're not just saying. You're clearly trying to get an edge on me on the podcast.
I do a lot of POW gigs.
All right. Well, I don't know if that's even true.
You know what I mean? Like in camps, just in camps.
Well, but how are you getting
they
in?
They fly me in. They blindfold me.
Who flies
me.
You in?
The guys
enemy?
Holding the prison. Yeah, they're holding the prisoners.
I have trouble believing
no,
this,
No, it's
sir.
True, man.
Okay.
No, all right. I'll be straight up with you. I sneak in. I get through and I perform.
Up? Yeah. That seems very dangerous, and I don't know how you get a mic in there on a stage.
Nah, I know. I have to do it quiet. It's all in whispers.
You're whispering? Yeah, you're whispering your whole
and
set?
And I do one-on-ones. I have to go to each cell
That's
individually.
That's a lot of work, dude, and not to mention very dangerous.
How patriotic are you?
thank you. I want to just say thank you
to
you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Because you do have an edge.
I do.
Do you wear those topsiders with no socks?
Yeah. Always. Who wears socks with topsiders?
I haven't seen topsiders since 1985 in Massachusetts when I was in Cape Cod.
Cape Cod. Tell me you don't want to go there. No, I've always wanted to.
You did, huh?
I still do. Hopefully someday, sailboat.
You want to be a salty dog, don't you?
I want to have a farm that's on the water that I can get in my boat and then take it to Boston and like go meet my brother with my kids and be like, what's up, man?
So let's talk about what, because when we talked about, you said you want enough money so you can have, I think, a salsa.
I want to start my own applesauce company.
You want to start your own applesauce company?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you want to start your own applesauce company. Mm-hmm. You want a wine shop and a restaurant.
Yep.
What else? And a bed and breakfast.
I like a small B&B, yeah, but like I want individual cottages.
Well, why do you
want
to be in a position of service like this? It's a lot of work.
Because I like it. That's what we do. We make people feel good. That's what you do as a comedian. And I want to do it in the same way in different aspects.
What makes you think you could do it in that aspect?
I don't know, because I just think I have an idea. I think anyone can do anything.
An applesauce company is interesting.
Tell me right now how many applesauce you can name.
Only Mott's.
Thank you.
I agree.
Can you see how large this market is? But guess what? I'm not going to do some pureed baby crap. I'm doing chunky, a lot of lemon juice in there.
Lemon juice?
Yeah, lemon juice. That's the key to a good applesauce, bro.
What?
Lemon juice
what
and
else?
Cinnamon.
A little nut, cinnamon and lemon juice?
Yeah, cinnamon.
So chunky apples.
Yeah.
You using organic apples? Probably.
We'll see. I'll probably have an apple orchard. You know what I mean? Then I'll just pull from that. So
an apple orchard?
Yeah, you buy a farm that's got an apple orchard.
What kind of fucking apples?
I think you probably want to go with Macintosh. That's
you don't know,
apple.
Though, do you? You haven't done the research.
Bro, I'm focused on comedy right now.
Yeah, exactly. Not even so sure you know what apples make the best applesauce, so I'm already disappointed. And there are about 2,000, 3,000 species of apples, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. I'm not going in there with Fuji's or Fiji's. I'm going to probably roll Macintosh.
Now, you don't know. Macintosh are the worst apples because they're so powdery.
Well, listen,
fuck out Macintosh. I hate Macintosh.
I'm going to be straight up with you. Yeah. I'm not stoked with your tone. Okay, it's not like something I'm really impressed with at this moment.
Look, man.
What's your goal, Brian?
I want to be very easy. I want to be the greatest comic in the history. I already am. I won it. I won that award. But what do I want to do? What's my goal?
You don't know. You got nothing.
I want to be a pro boxer, a pro tennis player. And
you're not going to be any of these things.
I'm not going to be any of this. And I want to be the drummer for U2.
Okay, well, that's not going to happen.
Okay, well, I'm going to reach for all three.
Do you think you'll ever be in a band?
No, but my son will. My son plays the drum 2 hours a day. It's crazy, and he's 2.
No, he doesn't.
When he wakes up from his nap, I'm going to put him in front of those drums, and he's going to sit there and play those drums.
And does he like it, or is he just doing
it
because he's trying to win your affection?
Well, I will not look at him, much less talk to him, unless he plays at least 2 hours, and he's only 2. Yeah.
Is that where you're really going to put, like, if you're going to get him to focus on anything, is it going
to
be drums?
No, he wants to play the drums. I would never push him in, but I can tell that this kid is obviously got a love for the drums. I'm telling you. He's two and a half, and he's playing the drums all the time.
What do you think he would do if you showed him, like, a real drum set? You think he'd be intimidated by it?
I think he'd freak out and play the shit out of it.
I mean, that'll probably change his mind because this is something different.
Here's my goal. I want to keep doing stand-up and surprise myself with the things I come up with. I want to write a screenplay and surprise myself with what I think I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to have enough money so that I can own a tennis court, hit balls with a machine, have a great view, and hang with my boys and swill wine and shoot the shit. That's a good time.
That's it. I like it.
I like just hanging with my friends and just being silly. I spend time with Dove Davidoff, my buddy Brendan Schaub. I like an eclectic group of guys,
mm-hmm.
All who are accomplished or at least on their way.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm status oriented, just because I want you to be interested and passionate about something. I don't care what it is.
Key.
And then we drink and we make merry. And I want the money to be able to pay for everybody's drinks, so we don't have to worry about the sticky issue of who owes what.
Yeah, never. That should.
I
want to
be the guy
issue.
Who just says, "Let me take care of this." I don't have. I have money, but I don't have that. I need 10 mil in the bank. I don't have that.
Oh, see, I love playing that game. I love that number game.
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, I think I could be, I probably could chill the rest of my life with 4. You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you put it the right way in the right places.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, just move stuff. But I don't know, man. I just would love to, I'd love to be able to do all the things I want to do with my life. I think everyone should be able to. That's why you need that chip, man.
I know, bro.
Because, you know, if you had the chip, maybe you could be a better comic. I mean, I,
hey, man.
Hey, listen, what you're doing is
hey,
fine.
Man, I got a chip. I'm fucking angry. Look at my face.
That, dude, that's intense.
By the way, you're quietly impressed with my 46-year-old body and the kind of shape I'm in.
I'm not quietly impressed. I'm very, I mean, dude, look at me. I mean, I know what you, I'm 37.
But you're a meaty, big Irishman.
Yeah, but I used to be...
You're like Jimmy Schubert or Jay Moore to me.
Oh, good Lord. Jimmy Shoops?
Two funny guys.
I golfed with Schubert one day. And
Schubert's a big kid.
You know what I said to him? I go, dude, he's like limping around. He's got that bad hip. He literally needs a new hip.
He's younger than me. He's Schubert, I hope you're listening to this. If you were to look him in a vacuum, you're like, you retiring? You 65 yet? He's the greatest.
Late 40s. Anyway, I just kept telling him, I go, dude, you know what you remind me of right now? He goes, what? I go, I feel like you played like linebacker for the Bears in like the 80s or something, the way you're limping
Absolutely.
Around. That's just the way he's like, Jack, he literally needs a new hip. And I just thought of this thing.
Jimmy Schubert's greatness.
I'm in Hawaii, right? And I'm golfing, and my wife just comes and she sits in the car with me and we hang out and stuff. And I go, if you were a caddy, like on tour, what would your nickname be? I go, you don't have to answer right now, but just think of something fun. And she goes, Chips and Dip. I laughed my ass off. And then first person I thought of would be, what a great sketch that would be. Jimmy Schubert. He's like a caddy on tour, Chips and Dip. Everybody loves him. He's got the bag. He's got that limp going. Everyone's like, hey, Chips and Dip.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
They're throwing bags of chips at like everyone on tour loves them. Hey, C&D.
You know what's great about being a stand-up is you can be a character like Jimmy Schubert and you can get away with it.
Get away with it.
He's the best.
He is awesome.
You can be, you know.
How often do you see him?
Not enough, but I see him. I like Jimmy a lot.
Great guy.
Jimmy kills rooms.
I can imagine.
God, he's funny as hell. I mean, he's been doing it forever.
Yeah.
You
don't golf though, huh? No.
I think hate golf.
Really? Because no, why? It's so
I golf.
Static?
I mean, I'm a scratch golfer, but I'm stupid athletic.
Yeah.
And I'm very zen. But
that's why
like
I feel
it.
Like you'd like it, because there's so much.
No, I play golf. I played a lot with my dad.
Yeah.
My father, but I'm not good. In fact, somebody said to me, I played golf. My buddy Jerry has an 82 handicap.
An 82 handicap?
Not an 82 handicap, but he shoots 82s. Regularly in the 80s.
Yeah.
Low 80s. And he said, what'd you shoot? And I said, about a 90. And I said, like, yeah, about a 90. And he goes, you did? And I said, yeah. He goes, good, man. He goes, what's the real number now?
Yeah.
And I went, oh, God, about 106.
Oh, man.
But I wasn't counting like the.
Yeah, know. All the crap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a good golfer. What's your?
I'm in around where your boy is.
Are you?
From the tips. I like to play from the back.
You're a big kid.
And then I shoot around 84.
You can drive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got strong hips.
But I mean, I played college ball. I have a baseball swing, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
There you go.
And I can generate it. I mean, I could probably trim down and still get it out there. I mean, I'm not crushing like 320 or anything like that.
How far do you hit it?
I mean, on a good day, if I got the wind and I got downhill, I've hit it real far. But I'd say I'd probably average around 270, maybe
That's
275.
Very far.
Yeah, it's a good ball. It's a good
That's
ball.
A good ball.
I mean, I'm not going to get on the tour with it. I mean, maybe nationwide.
Well, see, now I just saw you sniff like that.
You know why? I've been hanging out with Carl D, man. Carl D. Gregorio. You know Carl D.
I love Gregorio.
And he does that sniff all the time, and it's so addictive. He does it with
D.
everything.
D. Gregorio is good people. He's a big Irish, I mean, a big Italian. He's a big Italian. I think he's got a brujol on him, too. He's got a piece on him.
No. You know what he does have, though? He carries a badge. He's got, like, a badge from, like, his friend who's a cop. Like, gave
really?
It to him, like, a friend of the police badge, you know?
Yeah.
I think he calls it a tin. He goes, watch me tin this guy. He says that, like, I'll tin him. And it's like, which means you'll show him the badge. It's just
I'll tin him.
Can't even hang out with him. It's so funny. He's hilarious. He's the funniest guy I've ever seen off stage in my life.
This is what I wish. I hope this officer is listening. A good man in Sacramento pulls me over, looks at me. I made some bad turn. He goes, how do I know you? I said, and before I could answer, he said, Brian Callen, I was just listening to you on the podcast.
Shut up.
And let me off. I don't want to give his name because I don't want to get him in trouble, but he's a fantastic guy.
Dude,
thank you out there if you're listening, sir.
I think 90% of the time when a cop pulls you over, the cops that are like, get it, you know what I mean? They know who they can be like, listen, dial it back,
yeah.
Slow down.
I mean, they're just, you know, good cops. Like, for me, I always get along with cops because they're dudes
yeah.
trying to do a job. And they pull you
That's
over.
A tough
if you're
job.
A dick to those guys, they're gonna, you know, like people who are dicks to cops are so stupid. Those dudes are, first of all, they're macho guys. They're usually good guys. You want to fuck with them? You want to start to fight with them? They'll meet you halfway. That's what they gear up for. Those guys are. Yeah. Look at LAPD cops. Those guys are in shape. They're all fucking. Find me one fat LAPD cop. It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
They're in shape. They're fuck. And they're not hearing a peep out of you. They're working a tough city. But if you're respectful and you know you realize that their job is dealing with negativity all day long,
mm-hmm.
you know what I do? I make them laugh. I'm like, look, you haven't. Did I break the law? Fine. If I'm speeding, I'm going to make you laugh. Give me a ticket or not. I'm still going to try to make you laugh. I got enough friends who are cops. They want to shoot themselves in the face at the end of the day because they're dealing with all this fucking negativity.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, my buddy's a motorcycle cop. He's like, dude, I give 13, 15 tickets. It's like all those 15 Jeez. Times people are like, I hate your guts.
Yeah.
You know.
Dude, you want to hear the greatest cop story I've ever heard in my life? My buddy Fitzy, Mike Fitz, back home. He used to know this kid who was a little bit of a chotch, you know, okay? Worked at a junkyard, bought a Maserati, like a 78 Maserati that doesn't drive, just to have the Maserati keychain to tell girls, yeah, I got a Maserati.
Awesome.
So that's who you're dealing with, right? Made good money at the junkyard because he's like knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's in Boston one night, wrecked, okay? Wrecked. Driving, not the Maserati, some other car. Slams into a car in front of a restaurant, flees the scene of the crime. Cops pull him over like 8 blocks away, and they go, were you in an accident down the street in front of a restaurant? He goes, no, I wasn't. They go, you weren't just in an accident about 8 blocks away? A lot of people saw a car that looked just like this. He goes, no, I wasn't. He goes, because we found a bumper at the scene of the crime, and the front license plate matches your back license plate. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Were you in an accident down the street? And he goes, yeah, I was in an accident down the street. And he goes, can you get out of the car, please? He gets out, and he goes, you been drinking tonight? And he goes, no, I haven't been drinking. He goes, come on, have you been drinking? Just be honest with me. Have you been drinking? He goes, no, I haven't. He goes, you haven't been drinking at all. You can be honest with me. We've already talked about this. He goes, all right, I had one beer. And the guy goes, well, if you had one beer, that means you had two. And if you had two, you had four. And he goes, in that case, I had three. And the cop just started dying laughing, goes, get the hell out of here.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he had seen his rap sheet. You know, he looked at everything the kid had going on. He's like, who is this kid? And he's just looking at him. He's like, how dumb is this kid? And let the kid... Just he goes, just run, you know, like
wow.
leave and leave the car here or whatever. And the kid
just took
bounced.
Off.
But just so almost like because this kid just entertained him.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, one, you had two, two is four. And he goes, in that case, I had three. Like, you know what? Like, hey, check this out. I think it's amazing.
Cops are human beings, man. And you make them laugh and it can go a long way. Or it doesn't.
Yeah, that could have backfired real quick.
You know, I've had cops be like, you're paying the ticket. Which I go, really? Have you seen The Hangover?
Yeah.
You might want to rephrase that, officer.
Have you seen two?
I was in at least 5 minutes of both movies, so you might want to rephrase
Dude,
that.
Dude, the favorite of all of mine for you was Hangover 3, man.
Hey, bro, I just feel like I feel like that was a low blow. Come on, man. God damn it, Jay. Did
Dude,
you see three?
No.
Me neither.
Really?
Didn't.
A little bitter, huh?
No, man. I was doing another movie, Ride Along, coming out in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That should be a good one.
Bro, why did you... What are you doing? You look like
dude,
you're exhausted.
Dude, Hangover 1 and 2. I mean, dude, you crushed those. Was that amazing? Was that like the one of the greatest things you've ever done in your life?
I mean, yeah.
No?
You don't know what it's going to be. It's just another acting scene.
No, I get it. I get
fun
it.
Fun to hang with your boys. You
yeah.
know? But what I do know is that Ken Jeong and Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms and... Zach Galifianakis are a lot wealthier than I am, and they used to be not that way.
Mm.
Your life changes quickly.
Wow, this could be a little bit of a thing, huh?
Look, man, it's all good. I'm going to have my time, bro. If I just apply myself, I'm young.
Yeah, no.
I'm only 3 years away from 50. That's when a lot of guys have a resurgence.
Yeah. Dude, you're going to look this good at 50?
I know, not bad, huh?
I got
good skin.
That wouldn't be the first place I go, but
okay,
just because you're thin, you kind of, you know, you're yeah. so thin, it's a little like, ooh, is he
okay,
healthy? Is he
not?
Is he sick? You know what I mean?
See,
is he
that's
sick?
Not, this is not good, though, this conversation.
I mean,
now.
That's a size small, but it's still swimming on him. Like,
no,
what's,
no, no,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No, it's a medium. I'm actually a medium.
His bones are pointy. You know what I mean? Very pointy.
Okay.
Like, look at your knee. You could cut ice with that.
Yeah, but that's from Muay Thai. I do a lot of Muay Thai.
Just the crooked toes, you know, just your toes are off. You'd think a guy like your height would have bigger feet. That's all I'm saying.
See, now you're breaking me down. This is not a
No, this isn't a negative thing.
But it is. I feel like it's a negative thing. I feel like you're
breaking
me down.
You got big ears. Whatever. I'm just saying.
Big ears.
Everybody's different.
I'm older and my ears are growing. That's all. I'm 9 years older than you are.
I got my ears waxed.
I'm 9 years older than you, aren't I?
Seven, ten.
When do you want to be Jesus Christ. Where do you want to be in 10 years?
I don't want to say. I'm kind of embarrassed
to say. Applesauce magnate?
Could you imagine? You're like doing like
do you want to be an applesauce comedy, mogul? Like,
you see Larson? He's doing
Larson's nah, funny, dude. Funniest fucking mogul. And I'll tell you that. He's the funniest mogul. He's the best comic mogul.
I'm just doing... All I'm doing is gigs around the country where I'm speaking to Fortune 500, like, no, presidents.
Behind you is your applesauce, Larson applesauce.
Ugh.
What would you call your applesauce?
It's called Alma's. Alma's applesauce.
Alma?
Alma's,
as
yeah.
In your...
It's going to have a picture of my Nana's face. It's going to be a brown label with, like, all black writing in her picture, you know?
Alma's.
Alma's. And then on the back, it's going to be the story of, like, how my Nana used to make her applesauce. The whole point being...
This is based on your nanny's applesauce. There was no Alma, was there?
What did you just say?
Hey, man.
Nanny?
I mean...
Nana.
Nana. I meant Nana.
What'd you call your grandmother?
It's just that I have staff and one of them is a nanny.
What did you call your grandmother?
Mima.
Mima. Okay. Was that your mom's or your
dad's? My dad's side. And my other side, I called her Rose, just as a joke. Hello, Rose.
How old were you when you started doing that? Like 4?
Fucking, I don't know. Hello, Rose.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But really, grandma.
Honestly, 10 years, man, I would like to have, I want to make a television show. I'd like to make my television show. God willing, that'll happen. And then...
I'll be in it if you want.
Trust me, you're one of the, there's a gay character I wrote.
Okay,
listen, bro, it's not...
I know, but why would you... I'm not gay.
Neither is this guy.
But there's a gay character, so why would you choose... Why would you write it for
me? You know
me?
What's hilarious is I'm sitting there today driving. Do you have conversations with yourself?
All the time.
That's all I do. So I'm driving today, and I'm like, I keep, because I'm working on this show, I'm like, you know, if it's get made, I'm start thinking about, like, guys I would, you know, would want, you know, and then I'm like, how about Callan? You know, think, I've thought about you for that guy, and so, because I knew I was coming here today, and I'm like, Callan, and then I'm seeing myself in the audition room, and you coming in, and doing all this fucking improv off script, and like, all right, thanks, man.
Just destroying and your just, fucking words.
Yeah, just crazy improv.
I never do that because you have to be very careful with that.
No, I know, but you're so good at improv and like going into the Brian Callan world.
Though. I'm also good at boxing, professional boxer, tennis player. It doesn't mean I'm going to improv when I'm fighting in the ring. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's.
Oh, you're doing those things professionally?
Yeah, I'm sponsored in boxing and in tennis and in drums. So pretty cool. You know, it's fun.
First of all, yeah. No.
What?
How often are you playing tennis? That?
I play 4 intense hours a day.
Do you really?
Weekends are 6 to 7 hours. Yeah.
You're so full of how often do you honestly play?
I play, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into details, but I'm a good tennis player.
How's your second serve?
Oh.
Coming in like 7-8 miles an hour? What's your speed?
Well, not to be a dick, you're not returning it. You know that.
Is it kicking out to the side?
Oh,
you're going to get in the stripe in the middle?
On my ball is unfair. It's almost unfair. It's been called unfair.
God, I would love... Yeah. I wish we had a tennis court right now and I just had anyone. I just hung out with Justin Gimelstob the other day. You know Justin Gimelstob? No. He's a tennis player.
There are two comics who are Kurt Fox.
And Costa.
Yeah.
Well, Gimelstob was ranked. He was the highest he ever got ranked was 18th. He won like 13 times on tour and stuff
what?
Like that. Yeah. He was a professional tennis player.
He's not a comic.
Not some dude who sits on a couch and fucking talks about it with fucking giant ears. But
hey, man. What the fuck? I don't have giant ears.
Anyway, just hearing him, like he beat Agassi when he was 19.
Oh my God.
And he told us at UCLA, like they had this tournament at UCLA, and he got in by a draw. He was hitting with Agassi the day before because he was on the team.
Jesus.
And then he got in by draw and took Agassi in the first round and beat him. And he
Good
said it was
God.
Like, dude, 19.
Is he a tall guy? What's he look like?
Yeah, he's like 6'2".
Yeah, these guys are different.
Maybe taller than that.
Yeah.
Agassi yeah. wasn't.
No. Look at fucking, but Kirk, I want to play with Kirk. I keep forgetting he plays.
That dude, from what I've heard, I've golfed with him.
Well,
his golf game is tight.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
Yeah.
He's a big, rangy kid.
I've played racquetball with Costa.
You have?
I love racquetball, man.
How'd you do against him?
I never beat him. I didn't even get a game off. I mean, I get games, like, I get points.
You're
I never
not
got a game.
Against a guy who's ranked in the world. Costa was ranked.
Yeah, but he was ranked like 7-something, 700 and something.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Hey, man.
No, man. Let's be real about
it. Okay, but you're getting aggressive now.
I'm not getting aggressive about it. I just want to say for the
record.
I think
at one point he was ranked in the 200s. Look, man, I think.
I don't think so, man.
Give me your phone. Where's
I got
phone?
The phone right
Look
here.
Look up Michael Costa ranking, tennis rank.
And we're just going to believe what we read?
Dude, it's Google, man.
I don't give a Anyway, I'm just.
I didn't start that company because, you know, because it was a fucking fluke. It was like it was fiction. I started it because I wanted people to know what it was about.
Okay, here
when
we go.
When I started, I just came up with the algorithm. I don't mean to take.
A former professional tennis player with a career high ATP Tour ranking of almost 860.
Well, that's not very good, Michael.
Horrible. You not, weren't professional.
It's not horrible.
Yes,
sir.
It is. How is that not horrible?
Look.
If you were the 860th ranked stand-up comedian in the world.
It's a little different.
You put me in the top 100.
Yeah.
Which is probably not true.
Well,
okay?
You're higher than that.
Listen. Mm. So even if I was in the top 500.
Yeah. You're not okay? better. You're
He's
not...
at 860, bro.
Look, bro. There are a lot of tennis players out there, man. And it's a worldwide sport, bro.
Listen, I think I know what's going on here. Probably what? Off mic, when you're around Mike, you're on his tip about it.
I am not.
Maybe you are a little bit. That's okay. Everyone gets on someone's tip.
I'm not on his fucking tip. This is outrageous.
I'm just saying, 860 is a joke.
I want you to videotape me playing tennis, and I want you to put it on your website. You'll get a lot of hits. And I don't do that for anybody. I do that for almost no one.
Honestly? Yeah. If I can come and watch you play tennis, yeah. I will record you as long as I can talk shit to you. I bet I could get a couple points off you.
Whoa.
I mean, put it this way. I'm an athlete. I can compete in any sport. You put me in a sport, I'll play. Never been coached, man.
Jesus.
Natural. Natural talent.
I know, but my topspin is once again, unfair. Man, it's not fair.
Have you played with any comics?
No. Don't play with comics unless they're really good.
Well, no one even knows how good you are. It's just all myth, bro.
No, smooth.
Why don't you post a vid on your own site?
What I am going to post a video of is me wheel kicking the shit out of a dummy. And for any of you MMA guys, martial artists, hold your tongue till you see what I'm capable of doing to your face with my legs, okay? With my legs at 46, by the way.
That's 47.
Oh, and just remember, it's not trick photography. Was also wearing a wig. I think the first word that's going to come out of your mouth is legit. The man is legit. Pausing. Let me see how much time we've... For Christ's sake, we're almost at an hour.
I mean, it feels like...
When am I doing your podcast again? Yeah, right. Too busy.
You are? I mean, if you want to come on and not talk about fucking genocide.
Hey, bro.
Good
what
Lord.
I do? Is that what I talked about last time?
Remember, you got all, you're like, fucking, I saw genocide, the things are going on, it's gunshots, my mother put us on the floor, we were seven, remember? Where were
Lebanon,
you?
Lebanon, probably, I was
yeah,
talking about.
Yeah, fucking Lebanon.
Lebanon.
You've been around the world, man. You're cultured.
Well, yeah.
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 It doesn't show, like, it doesn't come out... In your comedy, you know what I mean? But
I don't like where this is going. I feel like you're... where are you going to be? Where can we see you?
Well, the 29th, when you're in Salt Lake, I'll be headlining the Hollywood Improv 8 o'clock show, if anyone would like to come up to that.
Doesn't matter. No, they'll all be here. They'll all be at Wise Guys in Utah.
Got a show coming out on the Esquire Network. You can check that out. Best Bars in America. Not a big deal. It's just a small network. It's nothing great. And other than that, you can always check out my website or... Twitter.
Wait, what is your special called?
It's not like your special. It's just a half-hour special, Comedy Central Presents. Did you just bypass that? You didn't even do one, huh? You just went right to the hour 26?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, I'm going to do an hour 26. Ugh, I really dropped the ball. I should have edited the shit out of that, and I didn't.
Well,
and
you would have
by
26.
The way, the shit I was doing after that was so good. It gelled right after I shot my special. It gelled. It gelled perfectly.
Yeah, that's what's tough.
It kills me. It's one of those things you can never quite write. I'm also my biggest critic. If
yeah,
I do
of course
something,
you are.
I hate everything about myself. I hate the way I look. I hate it all. I
don't watch anything.
I can't watch anything I do.
No, I don't want to. You know, why would you? I didn't do it for me. I did it for everyone else. And
I'd rather look like anybody else sometimes. Maybe it's helpful to be. To
no, have. I get it. I totally understand what you're talking about. I can see why you'd want that, but.
What?
What?
This has been the worst podcast
it's
I've
the
ever
greatest.
Done.
This is the best.
Yes, it was. You weren't Dana White, but I appreciate you coming here.
No, man. I used to job with Dana White when I was the Fox robot on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. I was the Fox robot for a year or so, and when UFC came over to Fox, I would jaw back and forth, and he was awesome about it.
He's great in this.
Boston, I mean, what do you want, you know? I mean,
he's good people, that guy.
Good Lord.
Jerry Larson, thank you for coming on the Brian Callen Show.
Thanks for having me, man.
The people are going to be very happy with
always
this.
Always fun to hang out with you, man.
We don't spend enough time together.
No, it's which is good, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, I mean.
No, what did you say?
Boy.
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
Man, your son's got big feet, dude.
Yeah. He's a big boy. He's a giant. He has giantism. Don't make fun of giants. I feel bad for giants. The world isn't made for them. You ever see a giant try to dial a cell phone?
No, I haven't seen many giants.
Oh, yeah, I have one in my room back there in the shed. He's such a sweetie. We feed him porridge. Never feed a giant meat.
No.
They're prone to rage.
Yeah.
He tries to dial a cell phone. He's like, I'm like, I'll do it for you.
That's sweet of you.
America, this is the kid saying goodbye.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show. Be sure to visit briancallen.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Callen and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Brian Callen Comedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.